Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Good morning, Jill. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I've got lots of thoughts on my mind today. So I kind of want to just talk about mothers and Mother's Day and the pressure that I feel when somebody says to me, you have six kids, you're amazing. Because I don't feel amazing. And I don't feel like I have things all together. And very, very often I worry that I really effed up my kids. And so I want to talk about Mother's Day because it is fast approaching. And I know my relationship with Mother's Day. I kind of want to know what your relationship with Mother's Day is.
Well, today is going to be interesting because I feel like we are entering forbidden territory here because, I don't know, at least my experience with Mother's Day is that we're all supposed to pretend like we love Mother's Day, like, yay, we're all being celebrated. But secretly, I dread Mother's Day every year. For a lot of different reasons, which we undoubtedly will go into today. But I'm curious too if our listeners feel the same, because I mean, it's just an interesting holiday and how we celebrate it is interesting. So I hope some healing comes through today.
Well, and I kind of hope, so I want to tell you a little bit. When I very first started blogging, like a long time ago, I joined a blogging group and there was this conversation that happened around, let's share a blog post. And so I shared one that I had actually written about Mother's Day. And all of the women who were in that blogging group felt 100% different than I did about Mother's Day. I had written that I have a complicated relationship with Mother's Day, that I'm not really a fan of all of the let's let mom sleep in and let's let mom pamper herself just on that one day. I love spending time with my kids on Mother's Day, but I don't love to be pampered. And all these other moms were like, I love to be pampered. I love it when my kids bring me breakfast in bed. And I felt like I seriously felt like I was an alien with purple polka dots and snot running out of my nose. Like I just come out of the bathroom with toilet paper hanging out of my dress.
Oh,
that's how I felt. But then since then, I actually think all of those women might be the exception to the rule, because it sounds like a lot of women struggle with Mother's Day.
And I think it's still one of those areas where there's probably shame around admitting it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous about today and what is going to come out of my mouth. But yeah, I have, it's interesting because like with pampering, whether you call it pampering or self-care or rest or a great brunch, whatever it is, most people love that. There's something about it being on Mother's Day. There's something about it like, here is your one day where we pretend you're special. I don't know. It just has always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I want to hear more about your story. And obviously, you know, your mother passed when you were young. Mm-hmm. And then you became a mom of six kids. Just tell me your Mother's Day experiences. In a nutshell, could you just summarize what Mother's Day is like for you?
In a nutshell, what is Mother's Day like? So actually, I guess I'm a little bit worried about what's going to come out of my mouth also.
This is going to be a great podcast, folks.
We might lose friends over this one. Friends and family over this. So yeah, my mom passed away when I was 11, but I honestly had such a good relationship with my grandma that it wasn't ever hard for me to celebrate Mother's Day when I was younger. I did always hate it when people drew attention. So like they would have Mother's Day teas or, you know, things like that at school. And I did always hate that because there was just so much attention drawn to who will Trisha invite.
Oh.
And so like as a 12-year-old and a 13 and 14-year-old, that was really hard for me because like it puts a scarlet letter on you, right? So there's this big awkwardness of that. Hmm. But I loved celebrating my grandma for Mother's Day. I didn't love Mother's Day once I got married because how do you, like somehow you've got to put other people ahead of yourself, but you're supposed to be, like it was hard to plug into how do I celebrate Mother's Day for my mother-in-law?
Hmm.
Because am I responsible for that? Is that my husband's responsibility?
Oh, I didn't even think of that stress. And now, yeah, I'm putting that one on my list too. Ugh.
Yeah. So whose job is that? And if I don't really love the pampering gig, but she does, then how do I, you know, like how do I give something to somebody else that I don't even love for myself, you know?
Right.
But there was this, I hated going to church on Mother's Day. I hated hearing the people talk about the dream mother, you know, the mother that does everything, the mother that's there for everything. I hated that. My ex-husband always thought, I always say the narrative that got put around Mother's Day for me was that I didn't like Mother's Day because I didn't have a mom. The reality is I didn't like Mother's Day because I didn't feel like there was any way I would ever live up to that perfection. Mm. So going to church every Sunday and listening, or every Mother's Day and listening to how wonderful women were, and I legitimately just couldn't see that wonderfulness in me. It was just a lot of pressure for me to hear how perfect mothers are supposed to be. So, and then I feel like Mother's Day, I've told all of my kids this year, I am reclaiming Mother's Day, goddammit, because I want to celebrate Mother's Day the way I want to celebrate Mother's Day, not the way somebody thinks I should want to celebrate Mother's Day.
Yeah, I think that's a tantrum. I think that's a lot of it because so looking back as a child, I also had fond memories of Mother's Day and I loved celebrating my mom and my grandmother. And, you know, we'd go out for a nice meal. I'd make a handmade card. Nothing major that stands out in my mind, but it was always like a nice day for me as a kid. But as a mom, I just feel stressed, I guess, in some ways. There's no other way to say this. I just get annoyed, honestly, because I was a homeschooling mom for so long and we ran our own business. And so I was with my kids who I love. I love every cell of their adorable little weird bodies, but I was always with them. Always. And so when it was Mother's Day and it's like, guess what? You get to be with your kids all day. And I was like, this does not feel like a celebration of me. And then I have to clean up the breakfast in the kitchen. And it just, so I started to get some weird feelings about it. On top of the fact that then also, you know, my mom is still with us and lives nearby. And, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that we get to celebrate together, but then I'm still in the daughter role of, okay, well now how do I celebrate her while I'm trying to clean up the kitchen from the breakfast that the kids made? And I mean, and then I'm like, why are we doing this? Why? I don't know. Anyways. And then we have added an additional factor to that because now the kids have a bonus mom. There's my fiance, Jen, and, you know, she's been in the kids' lives for several years now, and they love her and are close with her, but it always creates weirdness when we're trying to figure out, well, how do we celebrate mom? How do we celebrate bonus mom? How do people acknowledge me? How do people acknowledge Jen? Do they acknowledge Jen?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's an awkward part of your gig is,
yeah,
like, do you even live somewhere that acknowledges bonus mom?
Right. And in the same way, and, you know, it's like uncharted territory. Like we're trying to figure out how to navigate this and everyone around us is as well. And I really am just trying to figure out how I can end up in a hammock with an iced coffee by myself.
Well, it has been, I was actually trying to do the math. It's probably been 17 or 18 years ago. I still lived in Minnesota. So 17 years ago, my oldest son would have been maybe 16 and my youngest son was maybe 2. And I was serving in a church calling where I was the president of the primary. So people who are Mormons will know what I'm talking about. But basically, I was the president of all of the young kids under the age of 12, like all of their classes and everything that like happened with our primary kids. And it came to be Mother's Day, and our primary kids usually always sing songs for Mother's Day. And I had been pretty vocal about, at that point, just wanting to do a Mother's Day sacrament meeting. So the church meeting, I wanted to do something that would talk to all of the women, not just mothers. And so I actually volunteered to speak in church that particular Sunday. And it's the first time I've ever spoken on Mother's Day, because normally I run Mother's Day. I don't want to be anywhere near the church building on Mother's Day usually. But I volunteered to speak. And I gave a message about all of the women. So I told stories of all of the women in my life who had made significant impact. And most of them were women who were definitely not my own mother, but many of them were not mothers at all. Like one of my really good friends that probably changed my perspective on a lot of things, she never had children. She was never able to have children. There's a person in my life right now who has made a huge impact on my life, and she has never married. So she's never had children. But I just really wanted to focus that particular talk on all of the strengths of women, but then really speaking to the fact that this idea of mother weighs heavy on mothers and on non-mothers. Mm-hmm. And really wanted to address that. And I don't remember everything I said, but it was definitely not your traditional Mother's Day church talk. And I had so many women come up to me over the next couple of weeks telling me how much that message meant to them. Some of them were mothers and some of them weren't, but I do think that there's this big, ugly narrative that surrounds women who are mothers, that there's all these things that they have to do. And then on Mother's Day, it's almost like we're putting a bright, shining strobe light on those things that we're supposed to be doing. So it's like supposed to mountain from your right. book, right? Like all these things mom is supposed to do, and we hear about it everywhere, but then we're doing our own little mental checkoff list of, yeah, my kids had cereal this week, 6 days. And I can't even remember the last time I brushed my teeth or washed my hair, or I just did job interviews last week and I went to pick out clothes. I needed 5 days of clothes and I didn't have it. Mm-hmm. I have athleisure and mm-hmm. I have white t-shirts that have yellow stains underneath the arms that are definitely not appropriate.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that is, yes. Jen and I were just going through that last weekend with the book launch too. We're like, how do we not have any clothes besides the white t-shirts? And if anyone has a hint for making those crispy and white again, please let Trisha and I know.
Yes. And like, and it's not that that's a big deal. There's probably lots of women listening, but when you're listening to everybody talk about this perfect mother.
Yeah.
And you're looking at those types of things and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've put on 15 pounds this year and I don't have any clothes that fit. It kind of goes back to that 70-30 thing that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. The world says all these things that makes mom 100% perfect. And then we start looking at all of our flaws. And compared to that perfect mother, we just never are going to measure up. So dang, this day is heavy.
Yeah, I think that is a huge part of it. It's like doing all these things to celebrate you, but also these are the things that you're supposed to be doing every day anyways. And I think that's part of it as well, is it feels uncomfortable to me to have the roles flip, to have people doing things for me that I'm not accustomed to. And feeling like, well, I should be doing that, or I'm putting my kids under extra pressure that maybe they shouldn't be under today. I don't know. There is a lot with a Mother's Day, but I love the fact that you gave a speech that the power of women, that it's not just people who have birthed a human being. Like there are so many motherly figures that have been in my life that have been such a strong support. It's beautiful that you acknowledge that as well.
And, you know, like if you think about it, so one of my favorite stories is right after my mom died, It's one of my very favorite stories. So right after my mom died, my mom passed away in May. And then the school year obviously ended just a couple of weeks after she died. So I think we took a week off for her funeral and stuff. And then we only had a week left of school. And then we had summer. And it was just a couple of weeks into the new school year. And it was picture day. And my dad, bless his heart, was a cowboy. And he would try to braid my hair. Oh my gosh, I'm going to laugh out loud so hard. I may not be able to tell the story. So he would braid my hair. I had really long, thick, thick hair. And he would braid my hair as tight as he would braid his horse's tail.
Oh.
And it used to pull my eyes back. So I had like teeny little squinty eyes. Oh my goodness. And I walked into school that day and the secretary called me down to the office, to the principal's office. And I thought, oh, shoot, why am I in trouble? And I got into the principal's office. I sat there for a second and the secretary came in and she said, would it be okay if I did your hair like your mom would have done for today?
Oh.
And so she took my hair out of the braid and she just braided it a little bit softer, put a teeny little bit of, you know, curl in my bangs and just kind of cleaned me up a teeny little bit. And I was 12, so I was definitely like old enough to do stuff like that. But apparently I did not look like what I would have looked like had my mom been alive. And I think about her all the time, all the freaking time, because she first of all, knew my mom well enough to know that my mom probably would have done something a little different than my dad's horse. Yeah. Gosh. So she knew that well enough, but then she actually trusted like the family dynamics even enough to kind of say, hey, can I help you with this? But she's definitely not my mother. And I honestly can't remember any other interaction I had with her. But I will never forget the way she made me feel that day.
Oh.
Just that sense of love. And I think as women, like again, going to Mother's Day, I think we're always trying to celebrate these huge, ginormous things about mom. And we just can't live up to that reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But we can like step back a teeny little bit and notice that it's the little things that we do that make a big difference in people's life. You know, like you sent me the sweetest message just a couple of days ago asking about my interviews. And one of our friends, our mutual friends, did the exact same thing on the day of my interview last week. She sent a message saying, I'm surrounding you in love and light.
Hmm.
Like those things seem so small and inconsequential, but those are the things that make the world go round, in my opinion.
100%. Absolutely agree. It's a small heartfelt moment, that perfectly timed message, that person who showed up for you when you didn't think anyone was going to show up, like that's what stands out.
Yeah. And maybe that's the gift I want to give to our mom listeners is like, just step back and maybe count three or four people who have touched your life like that and then reciprocate that. How many times have you done something that simple?
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of mothers. That's the strength of women. And I don't think you have to have children to have maternal instinct.
Absolutely. And there's some moms, my earlier version of myself included, who had no maternal instinct, even though I was a mom. So it goes both ways. Yeah. No, I think that's a beautiful idea. And I also have become a better version of mom because I've learned from others around me and I try and reflect their behavior. It's like, oh, they did this and that was really cool. That was profound. That was meaningful. That really had a big impact. I want to be that person. How can I try and do that? So, yeah, I think that's really, I'm a better mom because of the moms and just other amazing women and humans that surround me. I learned from them.
I think that's so true. And I think, especially as we're going through so much change in our society right now, like I was thinking about all of these like pop psychology posts that we see that talk about generational trauma. And one of the things I just struggle with really bad is knowing that some of the things that my kids struggle with are a direct impact to how I was raising them according to patterns, belief systems that I didn't even know to question. And so again, just kind of, I think I'm going to use the same phrase I have before, but women who are socialized as mothers carry a lot of burdens of just like self-ascribed guilt and shame for what they didn't know. A lot of women who are mothers, when we know better, we beat ourselves up with what we didn't know better.
Oh my gosh.
So it's not that we know better and we do better. It's we know better and beat the shit out of ourselves. And
we perseverate about it for 20 years.
For 24 yeah. years. My daughter even said to me yesterday, Mom, you've got to let that go. Like, I'm not still mad at you. You have got to let this go. I know you're not mad at me. I just feel so bad that I didn't know better.
And can you write it in a card and cover it in glitter and give it to me for Mother's Day, please? And hang it on my fridge.
Well, and my therapist even said, how come you can give your kids so much grace for things that maybe they did? Mm-hmm. Or you can give your ex-husband so much grace or your friends, but why can't you give it to yourself? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, we have to keep the therapist in business is really what it is. So I'm glad you and I do that so well. And I'm sure maybe a few other people do. But yeah, I know it's easy to say, you know, we can extend kindness to other people in our lives. And it is so much harder to show that same kindness and grace and gentleness to ourselves. Okay, I have a question for you then. So what does your ideal Mother's Day look like then to you?
Well, like I said, I'm trying to reclaim it. This year, I have asked my kids that live local if they want to take a day that's not Mother's Day and go ride Segways in Fort Worth, Texas.
How fun.
So the three that live here are going to do that. But honestly, if I had my ideal Mother's Day, I would leave town. And any kid who wants to come with me, that's just fine. You can come with me. But I don't want it to be about me. If it's Mother's Day, I want it to be about enjoying the things that I love. And for me, that's travel. Like, I don't love going to restaurants. That's not something that is joyful to me. So I don't want to be taken to a really expensive restaurant on Mother's Day because I don't love it enough.
Right.
But I do really love to travel.
I feel that too. I was thinking like, I would just love to go to the beach, or I would love to go into the forest, or here in Sunken Gardens is like my makeshift forest in the middle of St. Petersburg, Florida. But I just would love to go there with a journal and write. Like, I just want to sit there and write. And again, I don't, if the kids want to come with and they want to sit there and write too, awesome. I would love to have you there. But if you want to know how I really want to spend my day, it is going to be outdoors in nature with a pen and a book and coffee.
Yeah. And so do you think you could do that on Mother's Day, or would like the pressure to make, because I think this is the other thing that makes Mother's Day so hard is the pressure to make our children feel like we've received Mother's Day the way they want to.
Right.
And I don't even want to say the way they want to give it to us, because I think there's pressure put on kids. Like, I know two of them don't even like to do anything for Mother's Day because they're afraid that whatever they do isn't going to be good enough. That's not something I ever taught them, but somehow over the years, that's what they've learned. So they don't like, they like tiptoe around Mother's Day because they're like, well, we need to do the right thing. And by all the pressure of doing the right thing, then they don't do anything. And then there's awkwardness. Like, it's just awkward. It's just awkward.
It is. There's so much. Yeah. No, my kids are the same way. They'll make the cutest little card, but then it's like, they're like, oh, I'm sorry that, you know, I had to scratch out this part or whatever. And I'm like, why do you even have that pressure on yourself that I would care about that? Like, I think it's awesome that you made me a funky little card. That's great. Like,
yes, it has to be perfect. So mom loves it. Like, I don't know who creates this narrative. Who writes these stories?
I don't know, but we need a rewrite.
So we are.
Here, right here, right now, we're rewriting Mother's Day. Who's with us?
Yeah. Because even like the idea of getting a massage, my brain is thinking I can't even relax for a Mother's Day massage because I'm feeling like it needs to solve all of my aches and pains because it was somehow miraculously Mother's Day.
Right. And you walk out of the treatment room and it's like, wow, thank you, everyone. That was the best, most relaxing, most perfect massage I've ever had in my life. Thank you.
Yeah. Is it the reporting on it all?
Maybe. It could be. I do like your idea of like, could you celebrate on a different day? Because I think that alone would kind of would take the pressure off. And it's, you know, in my case too, it's interesting because with my ex-husband and I being divorced and we share the kids on different weekends, there are some times where I'm not scheduled to have the kids for Mother's Day. And he will always say, oh, well, you can have the kids that weekend too, because it's Mother's Day, or like, you know, we'll do a swap around there. And I don't want to rob them of the Mother's Day experience, but it's also like, I'm fine just sticking with the schedule. We can celebrate on any day. They can show me love however they want to on whatever day, and I will love and accept it. But I just want to take the pressure off of the day.
So what would be your ideal Mother's Day?
I just want to relax. It's just, you know, like I said, it's out in nature or even just at home. It's a quiet day. I love reading. I love writing. Maybe that's it. I love not having a schedule and not having to do, because that's such a rarity in my day to day that, like, if you really want to celebrate me, put nothing on my calendar.
Very interesting.
Food for thought here.
Yeah. Don't make me worry about anything.
Yeah. I want a do nothing day.
So I think I like that you live near a beach, because to me, feet in the sand is ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, breakfast in bed is not ideal for me.
Crumbs, no. Yeah. I wish I had a moral of the story for our listeners, but I'm hoping that this is just like a, you know, I hope we can all just sit here and listen along. I hope you're nodding your head too, like, you know what? I don't like Mother's Day either. And I can say it out loud now. I don't know. I don't know what revolution we're starting here. I wish I had a point or some like golden thought to deliver to you all about like, this will make Mother's Day more magical. But I think maybe it's just thinking a little bit more about what it is you like and what it is you want. And I am now doing that too. I want nothing. I literally want nothing.
Nothing.
No plans, no nothing.
No gifts. Well, maybe I would like an outfit. That's not athleisure. Maybe.
Right. But I have to pick it out.
Yes.
Also.
Oh, I agree. I don't think there's anything revolutionary that I can say, but I do want to actually share something that I found really super interesting in the research when I was researching motherhood and like motherhood burnout specifically. When I very first started school way a long time ago, there was this conversation around that if we paid mothers for the work that they do in the home, they would make like $100,000 a year. And they're like, it was almost like this accolade of this is how much mothers do. They're so amazing. But I always hated it because I thought, but we don't pay them that. And actually now in hindsight, not only do we not pay them that, but when a woman stays home, we actually really diminish her marketplace value. The longer she stays home, the less value she has in the marketplace. So anyway, but as I was doing the research a couple of years ago, one of the statistics that really blew my mind is that women who are mothers work on average 98 hours a week. They work 14 hours a day, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. is the normal mother schedule. And she works 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In corporate America, it is guaranteed that a corporate employee will burn out in 3 years if he works 60 hours or more per week consistently. So in 3 years or less, corporate America employee will burn out and actually have to leave the job. Very often that's when they either get terminated because they've been performing poorly for multiple performance evaluations, or they will just literally break down and quit. But women who are mothers do that for 18 years and sometimes longer. So if our mothers who are listening about Mother's Day are feeling that exhaustion, that burnout, there is a reason why we feel so tired. And there is actually a reason why sometimes it can feel a little bit like a slap in the face when Mother's Day comes around and this is the one day a week that people are recognizing we need rest. We actually, the best Mother's Day gift would probably be to figure out how to make sure mom is not working 98 hours a week.
Mm.
That maybe reconsidering how roles are played out, maybe making sure mom gets a rest at least once a week, not once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because in corporate America, we wouldn't do that.
That is a fucking gift.
So it's not one day a year. Maybe consider it's one day a week that mom takes a break.
I'm on board with this. Happy Mother's Day, Tricia.
Happy Mother's Day, Jill. Happy Mother's Day to every single one of our listeners. And if you happen to be a person who does not have children, happy freaking You Change the World Day. Because we need those teeny little acts of kindness. All of us do.
We love you. And the bonus moms and all the, okay, we love you.
All the neighbors, all the friends, all of the aunts, uncles, cousins. Peace out, everyone.
Peace out. Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveintheque@gmail.com. Until next time, Queue Crew.